Great to have you with us this morning. The good oil for Penrite today. Penrite Oil, Australian owned and trusted for more than 90 years. You can visit penriteoil.com. It's a big warm welcome to Liam Pickering, manager to the Stars.
Hello, Gary.
Nice to see you, Liam.
Good to see you, boys.
Congratulations to you. You've got your man in there.
It was terrific for tea, wasn't it?
Yeah, so well received. It was a beautiful press conference. Were you at the press conference?
No, I didn't go to the press conference. No, I didn't.
Didn't get invited or?
I don't tend to go to press conferences.
Well, he's your man.
I know, but I don't really. I've been to one.
Sat back with your pipe in the back corner and just.
No, I've only ever been to one, and that was the Gary announcement to the Gold Coast. That's the only ever one.
It must have come with a rush at the end there, did it? Because I sent a text message to you and you dutifully responded, and honestly, I would have thought at the time.
Yeah, well, it was interesting because, it happened very quickly because we had a meeting with Kane Little and Brad Lloyd, so the CEO and the general manager of footy, on Monday morning at 11 o'clock. And we started talking in a general sense, just hypothetically, what would it look like if he was to, what would your expectations be salary-wise, if it was to go, what the market would pay, an untried assistant. Untried coach, I should say. So we went through that, and I thought, oh, that's interesting, spoke to Teague, he said, they're starting to talk numbers now. It's interesting. Very, very, very something to watch here. And then a follow-up the following day, we had an agents conference and a few phone calls.
That's when you were with us. That was Tuesday morning.
Yeah, so later that day, a few discussions with Brad Lloyd again. And then it just seemed to catch fire on Wednesday. And I think they had told him on about lunchtime.
On Wednesday.
And I found out, I got a text, a couple of missed calls from Jake Nolan and then a couple of text messages. And saying that they're going to announce Teague tomorrow, and it was news to me, which it was. I didn't know.
Well, thankfully, because the Wisp has been in unbelievable news-breaking form, said it won't be. Last week, having spoken to you, said it won't be announced this week.
Oh, I didn't think it would. I'll be honest.
Yeah, and I believed you.
I didn't think it would. And then it just happened very, very quickly. And then Teague called me about 5 o'clock and said, yeah, well, it's happened. Mm. So there you go. It's great for him, and it's been a long journey. He's only a young man still, but he's been a long journey, and he's deserved what he's
achieved.
He's got a good CV.
He stacks up, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, and I think that's where initially there was a temptation, I think, from Carlton people to say, we've got to get a big name. We've got to get the big name. Mm. And big names just haven't worked in the last couple of goes they've had it, have they? I mean, Pagan didn't work. Malthouse didn't work. So you got someone who's put together a CV – not unlike Alistair Clarkson's when he took over at Hawthorn. You know, he'd worked with you. He'd gone and coached his own team. He'd done all the things that Teague's done and wasn't the biggest name as a player. He was a good player, Teague.
Yes.
Tough player.
He won a best and fairest at Carlton.
Won a best and fairest at Carlton. Won the most courageous player in the AFL by the players and all that stuff. But he wasn't your household Michael Voss, James Hurd, that type of player. Even Brett Ratton, for that matter, who was a gun player. So I just thought it was a very mature decision from the club. And they got to see him on the job for the best part of nine weeks before they announced him.
There was a period of time there where the caretaker or the coach who wanted – the aspiring coach was loath to take the caretaker role because it was seen to me a poison chalice. Now, on the back of these two
– well, you'd be putting screaming with your hand up saying, pick me, I'll be the caretaker, especially if you don't have 3 weeks. Mm. I mean, if it's the last 3 weeks of the season, you're not going to get a lot out of it. When you're coaching for – basically half a season, it gives you a good long look at the coach.
It would have been unfair to ask you this question before because of what was going on, but now the comment by Chris Judd, who was the football director there and part of the selection panel, when he said that David Teague was still on training wheels, what did you think at the time about that?
It didn't really concern me all that much because I sort of understood the position he was coming from. I don't think he said David had training wheels. He just answered a generic question, which was, we're probably not in the market for a coach with his training wheels on. I mean, it wasn't directly David.
But he was specifically talking about David Teague.
Yeah, well, I think he was making a general point about untried coaches at that stage, more so than David. But
he's talking about David.
Yeah, well, yep. Okay. I mean, my view, it didn't really worry me all that much. I thought it was a silly comment, but I didn't think it was going to affect David's. He was one voice of guys that were working, like a Brad Lloyd, who worked with him every day. He's at every one of his meetings.
Yes.
He presented the board 3 times. period.
How many times was he interviewed specifically? I think somebody mentioned 8 times.
Yeah, he had a number of discussions.
Psychological testing, all that sort of stuff.
Oh, I don't know whether they did that, whether they got right into all that. But, I mean, as I said, it all goes back to what they were actually watching on a day-to-day basis. His interaction with his staff, his interaction with the rest of the staff in the joint, the coaches, the players, his game style, the way that their players are responding, his own personal mindset. I mean, he's a very measured guy, and nothing much changes with Teague. He's got a hard edge to him, don't worry about that. But I think he leaves the players in no doubt where they're at. He's empowered the other assistants, which is something I think they would desperately
want. All of those assistants will stay there at Carlton?
Well, I don't know what their contractual positions are, right. But all I know is that he empowered them to go, look, Johnny Buckey, you're the forward coach or whatever they are. You're the forward coach, midfield coach. You go and do it. You know what you're doing. I've worked with you the last 2 years.
Do your job.
Yeah, you do your job. You know what you're doing, Cam Bruce. So I think they really embrace it too, and the players certainly have.
Right, so we were talking about this, that had he not sort of fallen in the caretaker, would he have been a target for other clubs? Maybe, maybe not. We suspect maybe not, but that could be wrong. Who is there anyone else in your ranks that you've got who would be a surprise candidate for a job that perhaps no one's thought of as yet?
Well, my guys, I think, that are ready to coach. Jade Rawlings is ready to coach. Jade, he can coach tomorrow. In my view, he's done a really long apprenticeship.
Do you think he'd be a really good coach?
I do. Right. Yeah, I think he'd be really good. I'd have no issues with him. I think he's ready to go. Henry Playfair.
Henry Playfair?
Yeah, he's very, very sharp. He's had...
Has Henry coached in his own right, though?
Yep.
Yeah, because I think that's an important component about it.
Sydney's NEAFL team to a premiership.
Right, okay.
So... Like Shorey, he coached like, yes, Shorey did in the NEAFL, the Sydney Swans reserves team.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Henry would be very, very good, very smart guy.
Has he got the... no, you don't need that now. I mean, David Teague, in terms of the charisma and all that sort of stuff...
Well, that's what I mean. I think that's...
Oversold.
A bit oversold, yeah. I do. So our guys are probably... Yeah, those two definitely. And then you've got younger ones that I think will be very, very good coaches. You know, your Darren Glass types.
Mm.
Guys like Darren Glass, sorry, who am I thinking of? I've lost my train of thought.
So, and what about, have you got players within your playing
ranks? Oh, Troy Chaplin was the other one I was thinking of, who's only a couple of years in, but he's very, very sharp.
You got players within your playing ranks coming towards the end of it who have said you want to be a coach and have started that journey or not?
Not right here at this current time. Look, I think Jordan Lewis would have a lot to offer if he wants to be a coach. I think he's got that toss-up of the media career, which he's very good at. But I think, you know, he would make an excellent coach. I've got guys that are coaching in other competitions. Like Adam Snyder's a very sharp operator at the Giants. You've got guys like guys that are just actually out there, like Paul Chapman coaching his own team,
yeah, sure,
but doesn't want to get back in the AFL at the moment because he's happy with his builder and his...
We interviewed Chris Mayne a pre-game. He's not one of your players, I don't think.
No.
He was so open about the fact he wanted to be a coach.
Like Chris Mayne?
Preparing himself.
I'm preparing exactly like this. I'm doing all this. And if I'm not coaching, I'm going to be a teacher because that's what I want to do. I thought it was really good.
I've never heard a player speak so directly about that as what he did at that time, though.
Well, I wanted to be a coach when I retired. I retired knowing that's what I was going to do. And I went and coached at the Western Jets and then fell into management. Because Johnny Longmire was in the management and he went into coaching. It was like sliding doors.
So what happened with the coaching?
Well, I just got approached when Longmire took the role at left IMG and went to Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
I'd met Chris a few times, who's a great mate of mine now, but he was the boss of the client division and said, well, I need someone to, you know, come give your mate a call. So I said to Horse, what are you calling me for? He said, I think he's going to talk to you about my job. I said, I don't want it. And then knocked it back, and then a month later he came at me again. So
then you became one of the best deal makers in the business.
Well, that was 18 years ago.
Timing is everything, okay? One of your clients, Josh Dunkley, is playing out of his skin.
He is.
Unfortunately went and extended his contract before he started playing out of his skin. Can you go back and revisit it now?
In the words of Dumb and Dumb, I didn't even see it coming.
That might be the reason
for Christmas. No, I did. I actually did see it coming because he finished the back end of last year, when he was playing inside mid, he came home like a steam train last year, finished top five in their BNF. Earlier this year, he was playing in the forward flank and the pocket and this sort of thing, and he wasn't getting any midfield minutes. It's like Beveridge, after about round 8 or 10, just said, you know what? McRae inside mid, Pontempelli inside mid, Dunkley, bang, just go and get it done in the middle. And that's what they've done, and their whole season's turned around the back of those blokes.
Did you put a call in and say, listen... You've got one of the great inside mids. You're playing him in the pocket. Get him in the middle. Is that what happened? That's what I heard.
No, that's not what happened.
Well, that's what a manager's supposed to do.
Yeah. No, and if you didn't do that, you'd be derelict in your duties.
No, I had a number of discussions with their football department about his contractual situation.
You're onto something.
Quite miffed that he hadn't been playing on the ball.
I might have
said that to Sammy Power, that I'm a bit surprised that he hasn't had a run on the ball.
So are you now accepting responsibility for the Bulldogs turnaround their season?
That's exactly what he's doing. And it didn't take much to get out of him either.
No, I don't.
35 seconds.
We didn't go early. I mean, I'd like him to be hanging out there still.
Would you expect... Okay, give us an insight to this. Give us an insight into the relationship. Would it be practical and reasonable? Just say, I don't know what you're signing for. And does it happen where the Western Bulldogs turn around and ring you up and say, hey, Pickers, listen, in the interest of fairness, you came in, we got him cheap given what he's done. We want you to come back in because we want to give him more money.
No, I don't think that'll happen.
Why shouldn't? Well, of course that should happen.
It does happen. Yeah. They redo contracts. I highly doubt it if it hasn't even, this new contract hasn't kicked in yet. And it's not a bad deal. Don't worry. It's a good deal.
And you're building
a good deal, but he's playing to a level that's even better than that.
If he wins the Brownlow, for instance, which, you know, just say he was...
That would be incentivised.
We got incentives in his contract, of course.
Yes, but going forward, surely they'd have to revisit then.
Well, there's not a club in the AFL that doesn't re-look at contracts if a player's massively unders. He's not massively unders anyway.
No.
But what I'm saying is that he's
because otherwise you're vulnerable to an opposition club coming in.
Well, that's the reason Geelong lost Gary Ablett.
Right.
It's exactly the reason. He'd signed a 5-year deal with his previous agent when he was 20, and he wasn't even the highest paid player at Geelong, and he was the best player in the AFL by as far as you can kick your hat.
So it was his other agent's fault.
Of course it was.
The Pickers pumping himself up again. He's extraordinary.
I don't pump myself up, but the fact was that the Cats couldn't move on their contracts because they were in that window where they were damn good and they weren't going to lose a player. Mm. They just weren't prepared to lose one. So basically they said, well, if we give Gary what he's worth, that means we're going to have to lose Chapman or Kelly or Bartell or one of them, and we don't want to do that because it's going to cost us a chance to win the flag. So I understood it. But it left him very vulnerable when he was, I think, well unders for the last 3 years of his contract.
A lot of people think you might be pumping yourself up a little
bit. I'm not pumping myself up.
I'm just going by the feedback
there's
coming through.
There's a lot of feedback.
You've just leapfrogged Malcolm Blight in the votes.
That's impossible.
I think he's a legend.
Don't be surprised if Henry Playfair is at Hawthorn as an assistant next year. What say you?
I haven't heard that. That's news to me.
Okay. But, I've heard that from you before.
I don't think so. I haven't heard the Henry to Hawthorn. He's contracted to the Saints, but he's a very sharp operator.
Righto. We'll let you just regather yourself.
You guys come in here.
And we've flustered
you. I feel like Steve Smith facing Joffre Archer.
We've flustered you this morning.
It's a bit of an uneven deck. He's bowling 96 mile an hour.
Do you manage Tom Papley?
Nah. Oh. I like the little smear, though. He's good.
I know you can't say that. 16 minutes past 8. Got Pickers with us in the studio. Before we keep going with Pickers, Kenny Hinckley's just spoke on SENSA about the report last night on Footy Classified from Caroline Wilson regarding clauses being in place regarding Hinckley in 2020. Let's have a listen to what he had to say.
Now, I'm quite happy to say that my contract has clauses in it. And if you don't perform, you don't deserve to get those add-ons of a contract. More than comfortable to accept the responsibility of performance. I'm quite happy to say, Kane, if we don't make finals, I won't be the coach of the football club in the near future. But that's what we should be. That's what we set out to be. And contract clauses, they're there. They've been there all the way through. I've accepted it all the way through. The club's accepted it all the way through. And no one's going to shy away from it.
Yeah, so there you go. So the contract clause that Caroline Wilson reported last night was that if he doesn't make finals in the first 3 years, then he doesn't get a fourth year. I think that's what the clause in the contract was. So he needs to make finals.
It's not unusual that they've got...
No. Can we get a clarification on the near future, though, about not making the finals? He's not talking about whether or not he's got a contract next year, is he?
No, he's contracted for next year, irrespective of whether he makes finals or not this year.
But it's the year after, is it? Yeah, right, okay. Yep.
So interesting. I like the honesty from Ken Hinckley putting it back
it's
on.
It's not unusual that they've got clauses in coaching contracts, I must say. So
That's fair enough.
Not unusual.
Liam Pickering.
Not a great song,
mate. Usual.
Keep at it, Picks. Love the band. Gaz and Wish, know you're a gun. Not sure about that. Tuesdays with Pick is the best radio for the week. Legend. Cheers. That's Hilly. Righto. Darcy Moore playing this week. Oh. Where's his contract at, and is he going to the Western Bulldogs?
Now, how dare you?
How dare you what?
How dare you, Gary?
What's that?
That's a Tim question. Sorry, yes. Tim, can you redirect that question?
Gary, how dare you?
Right at the Wispy.
Darcy Moore, is he going to the Bulldogs next year?
He's not going to the Bulldogs next year.
You've been having a lot of high-level conversations with the Bulldogs.
Yeah, you told them how to play. You've got them back on track.
You're
and
trying to find another
flag. With you about whether, Gary, we argued with you, Tim and I, about Jack McRae. We think he's inside. You think he's outside.
Okay, let's send it out there. 0433 9 out 11 16. Is Jack McRae now playing as an inside midfielder or as an outside wingman?
Tim,
he's an inside mid.
Tim, Pickers diverting from the. I thought you're better than that.
No, no,
he's not.
You're bored him. Let's get back to Darcy Moore now.
Right, Darcy Moore. He'll be playing this week, I believe.
Okay.
So he'll be playing at Collingwood next year.
I can't see why it wouldn't be, Gary. He's contracted.
Have you spoken to the Western Bulldogs about it?
No, I haven't.
Have you? You haven't?
No.
Right.
So when you told them how they had to rejig their midfield, you didn't bring this up as well.
I didn't tell them
how they might have to rejig their defence.
I asked about what Dunks was at. That was early in the year.
When you turned around the Western Bulldogs by going to Luke Bevins and saying, these three, did you suggest that Darcy Moore should play centre-half back?
I'm not.
Because that's where they're most vulnerable.
I think that's an area they're going to try and address, no question.
Oh, really?
Yeah, It comes out eventually.
Oh, you believe that?
It comes out eventually, Tim.
There's been notice. Discussion with him about Darcy Moore, so don't stress. I'm not.
Is he out of contract, Darcy?
No, he's not. He's got another year to go.
Right.
He's contract till the end of next year.
Okay.
So let's get him back on the park this week for Collingwood. That'll be the first step.
All of Daniel Wells's peers are retiring at the moment.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I'm catching up with Wellsy later in the week, so I spoke to him last night. He's hoping to get up and play in the VFL this week. So he's coming back from a pretty serious PCL, so... Mm. He's done all the hard work. He's ready to roll, we hope. It's just whether he can get through training this week.
Play next year?
Oh, I don't know. I doubt it. I think it'd probably be near the end for Wellsy.
What would he do then?
Oh, he's got plenty of things he can do. He's a sharp guy. I wouldn't be concerned about him. He could do coaching. He could do list management. He might do some stuff with us. He's a very good operator.
He may want to stay in footy?
I think he'll be... He's got other things going on off the field, but look, other businesses that he's involved in, but... I think the footy stuff, there'll be footy stuff there for him for sure.
Gee, a lot of Western Bulldogs supporters texting in thanking Pickers for turning them around.
Lots.
I never said I turned them around. Thank you, Picks. You've turned our season around for suggesting they get their midfield mix. Picks, you're a legend. Thank you from all the Bulldogs. Righto, what's some funny stuff for the weekend?
Righto, we all sat through, well, I didn't. I watched the cricket, but I watched a bit of the footy last Friday night.
Not Friday night, you did.
Yeah. Little bit of cricket, a little bit of footy.
I would have watched the cricket if I could.
Old snore factor over here. His team, his mob, Melbourne and Sydney.
Hey, I would have watched the cricket too.
You were at the game though.
I was watching the cricket.
And this is it. You know, it's going to be. It's a pretty boring game when. But this is what Bruce gets onto.
Hey, Daisy, just changed the subject. The seagulls at the G tonight.
I hadn't noticed, Bruce. I'll keep an eye on those though.
No, so, Daisy was doing her job, Bruce.
Yeah, and Bruce is like, this is the most boring game ever. Oh, look at the seagulls. And BT got involved, of course.
At 1 minute intervals, they now have an audio of squawking hawks. Look at them enjoying themselves, even though the audio squawk of hawk. I'm not sure that I want to see that.
Isn't he?
Oh, that is a boring game.
That's a boring game.
Anyway, he's doing his hawking person.
That's not good. It's not good. Now, we played a bit of Dr. Eddie Maguire last week, didn't we? The doc, when he was giving diagnosis on the
injuries. Yeah, no, he's very, very good in this area.
And he's done it again, and I think he stuffed it up again. Have a listen.
Nick Rivott, you've had a good look at that situations with Dylan Grimes. It's a situation, is it an ankle? Is it syndesmosis? Is it a knee? Hopefully, it's a combination of all of them.
Hopefully it's a combination of all.
It's not what we want, Eddie. We want him to be none of the above.
No. He's the president of the Collingwood Football Club. He wants them to be all of the above.
Well, he said last week about it, you know, it could be bone bruising or it could be an ACL. Let's hope for the latter. Stop wanting people to get injured. Anyway, now, this was a bit of a mistake here by Eddie. And now, listen in the background. You got the wrong Rewalts, right? Nick's in the commentary box. Gary picks him up, I think. Listen for a bit of Rui... fake laughing.
And in the end, it was a goal to Nick Rivott. It made all the difference.
And he commentated as well at the same time.
Jack, of course. Oh, sorry, Jack.
It was
Froddles, Nick. I felt the spiritual bond between them.
Yeah, that's right.
Genuine laughter.
Yeah, genuine laughter. A little bit like when Hamish went on one of his storytelling expeditions, and there's the Wisp.
He's like the guy at the party that just arrives uninvited and starts changing the playlist. It's like, this guy's very annoying.
Oh, that's the worst of it.
It's like Mike Sheehan.
Genuine. Genuine.
Right. This is the pipe. I knew the pipe had come good this weekend. Big round of round 22. Here he is.
A 1-point game. It's a wobbler. But for West Coast fans, it's the most beautiful mongrel of all time. Hit the post.
There you go. He got that one wrong. Unlike him, but he didn't get this one wrong.
Cheat had his pocket picked. Edward runs away with his lollies.
With his lollies. Okie doke.
All right, just hold fire because you're in such good form. Okay. We'll get some news headlines.
Maybe some heroes and zeros.
Yeah,
maybe.
We'll keep you after the...
We've got a Johnny Farnham question for you too.
Oh, really?
Oh, God help us.